You have to remember that the world of the first century is very different from the world that we live in today. As a matter of fact, in the world in which these Jewish people live, the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, who were made by God as a special people, they were trying different ways of being God's people. Some with new rules to obey, some with new schemes for violent revolution, some with support for Herod and his regime, some with proposals for withdrawing into the desert and praying in private. And no doubt there were others as well. God wanted to fulfill his promises through them. Now Jesus has come. And from the people he has met, he chose 12. Even if he'd done that without a word, everyone could see what he was doing. He was picking his team, who were to be the nucleus, the center, the starting point of what would become Christianity, and for what God was going to do. These simple men, whom we don't know all of their occupations, but we do know that some were fishermen, there was a tax collector, there was a zealot, and there was a thief. They were the core of God's renewed Israel. Jesus shared with them clear instructions as to how his vision of the Father's work was going to move forward. He gave them 4 promises, but he also gave them 4 warnings that we heard in today's Holy Gospel. In terms of Israel's law of Moses, in the book called Deuteronomy, there were long lists of blessings and there were long lists of curses. The blessings were for those who obeyed the law and the curses for those who didn't. These are part of the promise, the covenant, the binding agreement made between God and Israel. Now Jesus gives them his own version of the same thing. And Jesus' version is quite different, if not truly radical. It's an upside down code. Or maybe from Jesus' point of view, it's a right way up code instead of an upside down one that people had been following. As today's gospel tells us, people from all over came to hear Jesus' teaching, with some coming to seek healing from diseases and some from healing of evil spirits. People wanted a piece of him. Can you just imagine this crowd wanting to touch him? To get a piece of him? And as Luke tells us in verse 19, the people all tried to touch him because power was coming out from him and healing them all. Several weeks ago, we read about Jesus' reading and preaching about Isaiah 61 from the sacred scroll. Jesus emphasized in the synagogue in Nazareth, as we read in Luke chapter 4, that he's fulfilling his promises. And this means good news for all the people who've been waiting for good news for a very, very long time. He said in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus has come to help the poor, prisoners, heal the blind, and free those who are oppressed. In short, Jesus is seeking to help the poor, the hungry, those who weep, and those who are hated. In today's Holy Gospel of Luke, Jesus is giving blessings to those people. This is known as the Sermon on the Plain, not to be confused with the Sermon on the Mount. This is a bit shorter than the Sermon on the Mount. And we'll do a comparison of the two. Today's Holy Gospel opens with Jesus going down with them and stood on a level place. Jesus' message here is about 4 Beatitudes. Beatitudes begin with blessed are, okay? But there's only 4 of them, as opposed to the 8 in the Sermon on the Mount. The key difference in this reading from Luke, Jesus speaks about social conditions of injustice as opposed to 8 spiritual conditions in the Sermon on the Mount. I'll make it clearer for you. I want you to hear the words from Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil, because of the Son of Man." Now, you might think to yourself, that sounds an awful lot like another teaching that he gave. Well, if you come every week, there's going to be times when you're saying, "Didn't Father John talk about that a couple of weeks ago?" Because the message is the same. That God loves you, and Jesus gave his life for you. There's only so many ways you can unwrap a gift. You can cut the ribbon, or you can pull the ribbon. You know what I'm saying? But it's still unwrapping the gift. And that's what we do every week here in St. Andrew's. We unwrap the gift that God gave us, and that's his Son. Think about it. There's nothing virtuous about being poor or hungry in itself. But when injustice is reigning, the world will have to be turned more towards the right way up for God's justice and kingdom to come into being. And that's going to incite opposition from people who like things just the way they are. I don't have to point you to the political scene today. You just have to turn on the news. One channel is for, one channel is against. You have groups that are standing on the steps of the Capitol and they're doing one thing. And there are people that are standing someplace else doing another. There's always going to be opposing views. And if you take and stand for the right, for the righteous, there's always going to be people that find another cause. Jesus' message of promise and warning, of blessing and curse, rang with echoes of the Hebrew people of old. And he knew that the reaction from some people would be the very same. Who is Jesus calling? And to what sort of task? That's what we want to uncover here. What are his promises and warnings for our world? For people who will hear his call and follow him? We have to answer that. Each one of us have to answer for ourselves. But as Christians, we believe that what Jesus began with the call of the 12 and gave a very sharp-edged teaching of blessings and curses, they remain in place today. This is the shape of the kingdom of God. The kingdom which today still turns the world upside down. Or is it the right way up? As much as it ever did. Makes you wonder why more are not hearing Jesus' call. There's one word to answer that. Culture. The culture of today goes one way. The word of God goes another. I don't have to go into detail. You know what I'm talking about. In the Sermon on the Plain, after Jesus gives four blessings that I just read, then come his warnings. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that's how the fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. Now I'd like you to listen to, in contrast, the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew's chapter 5, in which Jesus gives a similar message. However, in these blessings, Jesus is speaking of spiritual issues, not cultural and not, if you will, things that have to do with the person and their condition, the social issues. Jesus is talking like this, using words like spirit, righteousness, mercy, and heart. Jesus told the people, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, not hunger and thirst for McDonald's or Ruby Tuesdays, or dare I say, Harper's on a Sunday afternoon. Both the Sermon on the Plain and the Sermon on the Mount are a special call, a challenge for us to try to live in the present the way that will make sense of God's promised future. But the question is, will we be able to do it? That's always the question. When God gave the Ten Commandments, the question is, can you do them? And he knows that we won't and we can't. One person who walked the face of the earth could keep the law perfectly. And his name is Jesus. God knows we're not going to be able to do it perfectly. God knows who we are inside and out. If we make the effort and we try, then the future has already arrived in the present, in the person and works of Jesus of Nazareth. It may seem somewhat upside down to us, but each one of us is called to believe with great courage and great faith. And that is, in fact, the way for us to live, the right side up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.